Yeah, I was thinking of a few different possibilities to speak about. And Mikhail Kosovsky asked me a question during lunch, which helped me determine what to talk about. One of my favorite topics. No, not what you think. So Yechiel Kosovsky had the following question. It's a very insightful question. He said, I asked a bunch of the seniors where they're going for yeshiva next year. And they say Eretz Yisrael. Then I asked them, which yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? They say, I don't know yet. So he had this kasha was, he said, I don't understand. What's pshat that they know they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, but they don't know which yeshiva they want to go to in Eretz Yisrael? That was his kasha. So he's been be my eye into his kasha. Zepman the fun that he was saying that's the top priority in determining where to go, and Mimela, he had a kasha on the seniors. That how could that be your top priority? It's more clear it's a top priority if you don't know where you're going, but you know you're going to Eretz Yisrael. So what's pshat? So it was a good kasha. So with that, I figured let's discuss how we go about making decisions in general, how we plan for our future. What actually does drive us, and what should drive us? Just agav, once we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, I remember once having a Shabbos afternoon post lunch hashkafa session with the Rosh Yeshiva in Forest Hills. I had someone recently gotten back from Eretz Yisrael. The Rosh Yeshiva had a tremendous Avos Eretz Yisrael. Believe it or not, the first American yeshiva, as far as I know, I believe it was in 1968, the first American yeshiva to start in Eretz Yisrael was Chafetz Chaim. The yeshiva used to go there and spend a month at the yeshiva around the Hanukkah time every year. He had a tremendous Avos Eretz Yisrael. And shortly after I got back from Eretz Yisrael, I asked the yeshiva at a hashkafa session that we know there's all sorts of gemaras, of the chashivas of living in Eretz Yisrael, the Avir, the Aramachim, and so on and so forth. All these gemaras about how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is. When a person is determining which yeshiva to go to, how do you take that into consideration? So basically, if I remember correctly, his answer was that if all other factors are equal, then you can take it into consideration. But that's just agav. We're not getting into that. Okay. So yeah, Yechiel Kosovsky made me think of that. We all want to be happy. We all want to be happy. Obviously, happiness has a lot to do with fulfillment, with feeling satisfied, with feeling accomplished. How do we determine? Let's put the religion aside for a moment. How do we determine? How do people in general determine what is going to make them happy? Good talk. How about this? Think about it for a minute. I don't know for sure, but I've heard answers from many different people, and I'll bet you, maybe I'm wrong, but I'll bet you that your answers will fit into one of the five categories which I'm about to say. How do you determine what's going to make you happy? So I think there are five general categories, if you put religion aside, as to how people determine what's going to make them happy. Sometimes people go with a gut feeling. I just have this feeling that something is going to make me happy. Sometimes people go with personal experience. In the past, something has made me happy, made me feel good, and I'm going to assume that if that continues, then I'll continue feeling good. Sometimes people take advice from other people. This guy, who I really trust, who knows me well, he's a smart guy. He told me that I should follow this path because that's going to make me happy. So I'm going to trust him. Some people look at others who they think are happy. They say, well, I see this guy, he's happy. And he's happy because whatever. So my assumption is that if I have whatever or if I do whatever, then I'll be happy just like him. Sometimes people go with, I want, and therefore if I want, then that will make me happy.
It's different than gut feeling.
What?
Gut feeling is not a want.
Could you clarify that, but I think so. I think it, right. Could be. I want is more of a taiva, and a gut feeling is could even be more of a spiritual thing. I have the sense that I'll feel very satisfied if I find the cure to cancer. It's not necessarily coming from a taiva. It just could be coming more from a gut feeling. That's why I separated them into two. A good cash.
The three in between to the shack.
No, I would have if I didn't have an answer. But then I would have just said it as one. But okay. All right. I don't know. If anyone has a different suggestion of how they figured out what makes them happy, then go ahead and suggest it. There's no Torah to this. This is just the answers that I've heard and the answers that I think make sense. And that's how, in general, people, I think, determine what path they should take in life and what's going to make them happy. The problem is that all five of these categories are really very, very faulty. You go with your gut feeling or your want. We'll put it together for the shlug up. Very often that changes over time. Anybody here ever see somebody get insulted or upset in shul that they didn't get an aliyah that they wanted? Okay, did anybody here, it happens all the time, but did anybody here, was anyone here ever insulted that they didn't get the aliyah that they wanted? Probably not. Now, why? Are we all tzaddikim over here? No, it's because at this stage in life, we just don't care which aliyah we get. It doesn't really bother us if we get shlishi or shishi or revi or no aliyah at all. It's just not one of those things that we're into. We're not really looking for that type of kavod at a different stage in our life. Unless we work on our midos, we will be. So even if you're just mamash b'al taiva and you want to just pursue your taivas, you have to be a little rohas and oled. Your taivas are going to change. And later on, you're going to want more kavod. Right now, at this stage in life, you want something else. You can't just go with what you want. We're dealing here with a group of guys, I assume somewhere between the ages of 17 and probably 24. Okay. I would suspect if everybody would go back somewhere around 8 years from where they are now, probably what they wanted is very, very different. If they would go back 10 years, 11 years, I don't know, guys wanted to be a fireman or, you know, a policeman or whatever it is, that was the dream at one stage in life. It changed as you got a little older, the interests changed, as our intelligence changed, as our seichel changes, our hasagas change, our dreams for ourselves change. What are the chances that what we feel like we want right now is going to be the same in 10 years from now? It wasn't the same 10 years ago. Are we going to change more drastically in the next 10 years than we did in the previous 10 years? Maybe, maybe not, I'm not sure. But it's a little risky thing to do, to just go by what we feel right now. You know, we look around, sometimes we look around and we see other people that we think are happy, and we look at what makes them happy and we apply it to ourselves. I think that's probably very, very common. but also very, very dangerous. First of all, we don't know who's happy. It's mistaber that we don't know who's happy. We see all the time amongst ourselves with our friends. If I have a guy wants to schmooze with you, he thinks you're in a good mood and you wanna hang out with him, you wanna schmooze with him, and you're not, and you just wanna be left alone, go into your cave, and feel like telling the guy, get out of my face, leave me alone, don't you see I'm just not interested right now. And that's a guy who knows you well, but he's not reading your mood. He doesn't realize that you're in a grouchy mood and you're not in a happy mood. He thinks you're happy and you want to hang out with him, you want to schmooze, and you really just want to be left alone. Even people that know us very well have a very difficult time reading whether we're happy, whether we're in a good mood. Yet we think that we're going to go look at everybody else and we're going to size up who's happy, who's in a good mood, who's feeling fulfilled. And we're going to apply it to ourselves and say, oh, he's happy. And then we take the next step and we know why he's happy. We don't even know ourselves why we're happy sometimes. You ever wake up in a bad mood and you don't know why you're feeling that way? Right? People say they wake up on the wrong side of the bed. What does that mean? That means I'm feeling grouchy. I'm feeling like I'm in a bad mood. I just don't know why. I assume it works the other way also. We could be in a good mood and we don't know. Sometimes we do know why, sometimes we don't know why, but it's complicated. But we're going to go ahead and look at the other guy who we know is happy, even if you want to grant that our assessment is right as to whether the other guy is happy and feeling fulfilled and accomplished. We're going to assess that, and we're going to know why he's happy. We can't figure ourselves out. We can't figure out why we feel like we're in the mood that we often do. But when we get to other people, I can figure out who's happy, and I even know why he's happy, and then I can even take the next step and say, if that makes him happy, it's going to make me happy too. I can find other people that are happy for other reasons, but there I'm not going to say, if he's happy, it's going to make me happy. It's going to make me happy also. It's a lot of guesswork. I was once talking to a discussing this idea with a group of high school guys, and one of them said, what's going to make me happy is to learn half a day and be very wealthy. So I said, okay. I asked him a question, that, why do you think so? So he said, I look at Dr. Jacob, and he's wealthy, he's learning half a day, he's very happy. So if I do that too, I'm going to be very happy. So I said to him, okay, let's say you're right. I think you are right. Seems pretty happy to me. Again, what do I know? What does anyone know? But I said, let's say you're right. He's a happy guy. He's learning half a day. He's very wealthy. How do you know why he's happy? Maybe the reason he's happy is because he's a tremendous Bobby Tochan, and he was able to deal with the tzara of his of losing his son because of all the bitachon that he had. Maybe that's why he's happy. I didn't think of that. I'm just assuming he's happy because he has money and he learns, and that's what I want to do. So I'm assuming that's what's making him happy. So I'll do it too, and I'll be just like him. But we don't know. We don't know. It's a lot of guesswork, and we're really just going with our gut feeling. We're letting our own desires guide us as to determining who's happy, as to what we really want. And it's a very risky way to go about it. Somebody told me. So again, even if this guy is very smart, like, how does he know it makes him happy? What's making the other guy happy is not making you happy. Right? Everybody here has a different idea of what's going to make them happy. But we don't assume, you know, we start taking advice. This guy's going to tell me what's going to make me happy. But I know my friend, he thinks something else is going to make him happy. But this guy knows what's going to make me happy. I don't know. Sounds like a overall pretty silly thing to do. Think for a moment. What People are often similar to their parents. Think for a moment. What would you say is or has been the most proudest, happiest feeling of satisfaction or moment that your parents have had? Anybody want to volunteer?
Having us.
What?
Having us.
You mean just being born?
For our parents.
Okay. Just the moment that you were born. I mean, that could be, you don't remember it.
I don't know.
But
seeing us be successful.
Seeing you be successful, in what way?
Whatever they term success, probably.
Okay, let's get a little specific. We don't have to get too specific.
I remember Sharma told me one time when his son was getting married, he says, "You'll never understand the absolute joy you get when you marry off a kid. It's like, you made it. You were successful."
Okay, what were you going to say?
All of us are the same thing.
What?
When I was born.
How do you know? I'm saying. What? Okay.
Mortgage.
Okay. So now let me ask you a simple question. I never heard, you take a simple decision that all of you guys are either making now or have made recently of which yeshiva should I go to. Now, you guys know that the ultimate feeling of simchas hachayim, if we could call it that, that your parents got was from having you and seeing your success. Right? You know that. I don't remember. I did this a little experiment with many high school kids. Write down what you think is going to make you happy. Okay, a lot of them write having a nice family, but this is not where they're going. Who's thinking about this when they're determining which yeshiva should I pick? I went recruiting with Rabbi Kier. Met with many nice, good, solid guys. The most common question that they have for the yeshiva: what is there to do to chill over there? Well, these are good guys. They're going to keep solid through Sadar. But that's the question. What is there to do? What can we do to chill? That's how they're making their decision of which yeshiva should I go to. You get them to be a little bit sophisticated, to think a little bit more. What's going to make you happy in life? Having kids like you. Right? That's what made your parents happy. Okay, it's important to have a place, to have the right balance. You can chill the right way because then you can learn the right way. And if you learn the right way, okay, fine. But what's really the driving force behind these major life decisions? I would venture to say it's a lot of what my gut feeling is. What do I want right now? What are my recent personal experiences that brought me simcha, was a good chill? So that's what I'm going to look for. That's what I think I need. That's what I think is going to make me happy. We have to start thinking a little bit deeper, because that's very shallow. We even know it ourselves. The Rosh Yeshiva has a shmooze. I think I shared it with some of the first year guys at recent. Muslim group, on the halach of Dalet Vehei. We know by Tavach HaMacher, if a guy shechts or slaughters the sheep or the seh, then the halach is that he pays three for the, he pays four times for the shar, or for the seh, five times for the shar. So Rashi quotes the Gemara, Hashem has rachmanis on the covet of brius. Shor shaholach baraglov lonos bazbo aganov lenosol kasefo mshalim hey se shenosol kasefo mshalim dalad holvin is bazbo. The guy already got part of his onesh because he was embarrassed by having to carry the sheep, and therefore he has to pay less. There's a lot of shrewsness you could say over here. The godless of the Rosh Hashiva is that he dug deeper over here and said the shmooze that nobody inherits from this chazal. Oh, you see how much we have to care even about a god. You see how much Rachmanis has. This guy brought about it himself. You could say 10 different shmoozes over here, but the Rosh Hashiva dug deeper and said the shmooze that very hard to see. He said, well, hold on 1 second. If you ask this ganav, are you being embarrassed by carrying the sheep? What would he say? So maybe he would say yes, but probably, or certainly some of them, would say no. It's people do things that are a lot more embarrassing than carrying a sheep voluntarily. Right? If I would ask you, would you rather carry a dog or jog around the canal without your shirt on? Assume you don't have a six-pack. I would guess most people would be more comfortable carrying a dog. Yet, lots of people voluntarily jog around the canal without their shirts on. I don't mean here. I'm saying in the veldt. People do things that are a lot more degrading than carrying an animal. It's normal to carry a sheep. That's what you need to do if you need to bring your sheep from one place to the other. You ask this guy, are you feeling degraded? I'm not feeling degraded. I'm just thinking about my lamb chops that I'm about to have. So what's pshat? So how could you say that he already got his onish? Teretz is, Hashem is telling us, I know how this guy feels. He feels degraded. When you ask him, how do you feel? He says, I feel fine. It doesn't bother me. But Hashem is saying, I made him. I made him with his sense of greatness. And I know that that sense of greatness is feeling embarrassed, is feeling nizbaza, diminished. Thank you. Good word there. Good education. feeling diminished by his having to carry the sheep. And therefore, I'm lowering his onesh. Now, this ganiv, tomorrow he's going to go steal again. And not realizing that he's making himself feel like a bigger and bigger lowlife. And he's feeling worse and worse. And he's not understanding why he's feeling worse and worse. So he's going to say, oh, I'm feeling down. Let me try this. Maybe it'll make me feel better. Let me try this. Maybe it'll make me feel better. But he doesn't even know why he's waking up on the other side of the bed in the grouchy mood, not even knowing why he's feeling the way he's feeling, because he's not in touch with this reality that's going on inside of him. A similar concept that the Rosh Hashiva used to put together with this. It says in the Sefer Ma'alot Hamidos that it's a G'nai Godol Isha, if I remember the Lashon correctly, G'nai Godol Isha Kisha Anoshim Estaklimbo. That women feel tremendously degraded when men look at them. Now, it's a Pella. That doesn't seem to be the Metzius of what they think. So what's pshat in the Chazal? Teretz is that they're feeling it, but they're not understanding why they're feeling the way they're feeling. They're feeling diminished. They think they're feeling diminished because their friend got more likes with their preacher's sticker post. So let me one-up them. I'll put up something even more preacher's stick, and I'll get more likes, and then I'll feel even better.
That work with happiness, too? Could a person not realize that they're happy, even though that's what they actually feel?
You're getting too deep for me, Mike. I don't know. One second. It's not pshat that he doesn't realize, Mikey, it's not pshat that he doesn't realize that he's feeling bad. He realizes that he's feeling bad. This woman realizes that she's not feeling good. She's not connecting the dots as to why she's feeling that way. She's looking around the society and seeing what the ideals of society are. The ideals of society is to get a lot of attention. So when she's not feeling so good about herself, she's thinking that the reason she's assessing, she's feeling like I don't feel good, but she's assessing the cause of that to be something else. The cause of that is because I'm not getting enough attention. So let me do something that will get me even more attention. And then she feels even worse, and she attributes that to something else because my friend insulted me. she's not, she's feeling bad. I don't think pshat is that you don't actually sense it. You actually sense it, but you don't know where it's coming from. That's the teva of the mensch. Remember, the mushal I had to explain this. Said, imagine if I was, I'm a Rebbe teaching a shiur for a whole year. A guy in my class comes over to me at the end of the year and said, you know, Rebbe, we really, really enjoyed having you as a Rebbe this year. You know, this was, you were the best Rebbe we ever had. Thank you so much for such a wonderful year. And I said, okay, you know, to be fair, tell me, what was it about me that you liked so much? He says, you know, you wore nice ties every day. And we really enjoyed having a nice tie in front of our classroom every day. Now, if you tell me nice ties, then fine, I'll take the compliment. But that's extremely degrading because I'm worth so much more than my nice tie. And that's all you value about me? So it makes a lot of sense, the concept that she feels degraded. But she doesn't understand that because society is sending her mind in the other direction to such an extreme. Sending mind in that direction to such an extreme, she can't imagine that's going to make being a tznua is going to make me feel good. She can't imagine that's the reality. The Messias Hasharim says something along these lines in the beginning of the Messias Hasharim, that we have an neshama inside of us. I don't know if our godless and our neshama is exactly the same thing. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know all these things. But he says we have an neshama inside of us. And there are certain things that are going to make that neshama feel good. And it's not about gashmius. It's not about superficial things. And if we don't satisfy that neshama that Hashem put inside of us, we're not going to be happy. Hashem created the world in a way, Hashem is a stack of a rice of bor alma. Hashem created the world in a way that if we follow the Torah, we're going to be happy. It's mistaber that he did that. Probably says in a lot of places too. But it's mistaber that he did that. There's a Gemara in Sukkah trying to figure out, I think it was trying to figure out which tree, I don't remember if it was the Esrog or the Lulav. And the Gemara entertains a certain possibility. Maybe it's this tree. And the Gemara says, no, it can't be that tree because that tree has thorns. And the Pasuk says, Hashem would never give a mitzvah that is not, it's not, it's felt in Darchei Noam if you'd end up having to take from a tree that has thorns. We prick ourselves in the loaf all the time. I'm not sure. But it says that's the Gemara passes. That can't be the tree to be yotze the dal minim, because that would be felt in Darchei Noam, and there's no way in the world that Hashem would give such a mitzvah. It's a little more than just mathematically. I think most people, if you ask them, I'll make you a deal, you could give up any one mitzvah or any one aveira, I'll get rid of it for you all tonight that you let me prick your finger with a thorn. I think most people would take you up on the deal. But Chazal understood that's not how the Torah works. And there is no mitzvah in the Torah, or no isser in the Torah, that's even as unpleasant as having your finger pricked by a thorn. That's how they're able to pass. And this tree is not the proper tree. It's felt in Darchei Noam. Hashem would never do such things. There are no mitzvahs or averas that are even that unpleasant. We have very different perspective of what's going to make us happy in life. We determine by these five categories. What we have to realize is that we're very, very complicated. People are extremely complicated. If we think that we're going to understand ourselves enough to determine what's going to make me happy, I'm going to go by my gut feeling, I'm going to go by what I want, I'm going to go by what someone tells me, I'm going to go by looking at somebody else who I think is happy because of whatever reason, we're playing a game of trial and error. And we don't really have enough time for so many errors. Hashem tells us, here's the book, here's the blueprint of the world, of your life. I made you. I understand how complex you are because I made you that complex. And this is what you got to do. You got to follow the Torah. and you'll be good. So the bottom line, Yisod, is that when it comes to making big decisions, when it comes to planning our lives, when it comes to determining what's really going to bring us Simchas HaChaim, what Mahalach HaChaim should we take, we all want to be satisfied, we all want to feel good, we all want to be happy in life. We could go the classic Mahalach, but it's very, very, very risky. And it's going to be too late when we find out, whoops, that doesn't work. Life takes planning. And rather than using our own judgment and being so smart as to figure these things out ourselves, we have to realize that Hashem gave us the answers. The answers are in the Torah. The answers are in Das Torah. And that's how we have to make our plans for determining our Mahalach HaChaim and our Simchas HaChaim. Have a wonderful evening and good luck on your decisions.